Amen. It's been a powerful day in so many ways. I think God deserves a round of applause and for what He is doing in the hearts of dads and kids and families. I mean, He deserves our praise. I love how the worship team led us to the throne of grace today, reminding us of the strength and the power of the great Almighty who wants to be involved in our lives. We've been talking through this series. Today is the last part of our series called Peeled, and it asks, you know, what's under your skin? For the believer in the room, for the one who has put his faith in Christ, it is the very presence of God. And I hope you haven't missed that as we have worked through this series, is the very presence of God working in us that changes us from the inside out. And so as we have looked at the different fruits, and we realize that, you know what, that these fruits don't just come from me doing something or me trying harder or me following the rules better, whatever, but it's the working and the very presence of God working to literally cultivate and to bring about these fruits. And so hopefully as you've worked through this, you've realized, you know what, man, quit beating yourself up and realize that it's a submitting and surrendering to the work of the Holy Spirit that allows these fruits to be produced. And so, you know, I know that it's easy sometimes to kind of look through that list and go, well, you know what, man, I wouldn't mind, understanding a little bit more about love or peace or whatever. But we often kind of say, you know, that patience one, man, I almost want to skip that Sunday because I know I won't ever be any good at that. Or like this one today, self-control, you're like, man, you know, I don't even need to go. I mean, I know, you know, that I'm not winning in that area. And keep in mind, it's not all about you, but you do have a part in it. And so I want us to look today again at the passage we've been reading through and we've been drawing from throughout this series. And so let's read again Galatians 5. It says, so I say, this is Paul writing to the church, he says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That is a submitting, a surrendering. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. And when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. And so when we read this passage again, we get to the last fruit, the fruit of self-control. And Paul is making it very clear that we are to submit and surrender daily. And I'll just tell you this, it's probably moment by moment as we move throughout our day. Because there's a lot of times it'd be nice if we could just get up in the morning and say, hey God, man, I just want to submit and surrender to you today. It's yours. And that would be it. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? If that was, hey, just a kind of one time, boom, and there it's over. But the thing is there's going to be things that will come up. Maybe on the way to work, you know, maybe it's somebody cuts you off, or maybe somebody didn't say thank you, or something like, or whatever it might be. But all of a sudden we have this battle again. Will I respond by the flesh, or will I submit and surrender to the workings of the Holy Spirit within me? For the believer in this room, for anybody in this room that has put their faith in Christ, received Christ, we realize that is the very presence of God that will literally work in us in a very powerful way. And the Holy Spirit does this. The Holy Spirit, you'll often hear people talk about conviction of the Holy Spirit or a quickening of our spirit. Like even today, I shared this in our time of prayer. We pray every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. If you want to join us, you know, it's the faithful few. But we meet in the square and we pray for God's Holy Spirit to move in the hearts of people. We had people going through the waters of baptism. We were praying for them that they would realize this is a celebration, man. You're going public. You're letting everybody know that Christ lives within you. We were praying for the people that would come to just support them and watch them. That if they're here and they don't know Christ personally, that they would respond in faith, believing on Christ, the same thing that these have. And so we were praying for the Holy Spirit to work. The Bible says that it is God who literally draws men unto Himself, using the workings of the Holy Spirit to draw us close. We pray for the believers that sit in this room that continue to take on a yoke of slavery whenever they have been set free. If they would no longer live as slaves, but they would live as those who have been free by the power of God. And literally submit and surrender to that Holy Spirit moment by moment throughout their day. So that when they end the day, they're able to look back and realize, God, You have been changing me. God, You have been working in me. So let's look at a couple of definitions here. The first one here, it says self-control. It says is the ability to control oneself. That seems pretty explanatory, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious. And then it involves moderation, constraint, and the ability to say no to our basic desires and fleshly lust. It's the ability to say that. And so self-control, again, is a fruit of the Spirit. And so that even the ability to say no, the desire to say no to the things that dishonor God, the things that are not what we should be doing, what we should be saying, what we should be thinking, comes from the workings of the Holy Spirit within us. My favorite definition is this next one, though. I love this. Self-control is you being so filled with and led by the Holy Spirit that the way you act or react in any given situation glorifies God and edifies others. That's the workings of God within us. That's a great definition. I mean, you think about that. So in other words, that I am so filled with the Spirit of God, literally that it's overflowing, that it is taking over, and I am led by it. In other words, I am seeking the Spirit's direction. I'm submitting and surrendering to His guidance in the decisions that I make, the things that I do. And so therefore, I literally am so filled and so led that everything, the decisions I make, how I act or how I react to a situation glorifies our Heavenly Father. It brings glory to His name. And here's the other thing. It edifies, builds up the people around us. It encourages them. And they see that and they go, man, there's something different about this guy. Something different about that lady, this person. And so the thing is that is the fruit of self-control defined. And I like either one of them. But here's the thing is, there may be some of you in this room, like I said, where you have felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You say something and, man, as soon as it comes out of your mouth, you go, man, I shouldn't have said that. That didn't honor God. I shouldn't have said that. That was divisive. I shouldn't have said that. That was gossip. You know, I shouldn't have said that. And all of a sudden we feel almost a little bit of remorse going, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have said that. There's been times whenever you'll see something and you'll have a certain thought and you think, you know, man, I shouldn't even be thinking that way. Y'all ever felt that? That's the workings of the Holy Spirit within you. And so at times, here's the thing, this is what we ought to do. We ought to give thanks to God and say, God, thank You that You're working within me. God, thank You that You do reveal those things that do not honor You. You speak into me conviction. And so the conviction of the Holy Spirit is, it's like saying, hey, Mike, listen, that doesn't line up with God's Word. You know, listen, I want you to see, here's God's Word, and that does not honor Him. And so therefore I come under conviction, or I feel like I have grieved the Holy Spirit. And there's times that I grieve. I agree. I go, man, you know, Mike, you know better than that. Why would you think like that? Why would you say that? Why would you do that? Why would you react that way? And the Holy Spirit is what gives me the authority or even the desire to choose something different. So let's look at this. It says, it is God working in the believer that gives us the ability or the desire to say no. It is God working in the believer that gives us the ability or the desire to say no. So let's read this passage here. It says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions. Paul, again, writing to the church, he says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. He's saying, listen, we've got a part in it. We have our responsibility. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. But look at what it says here. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. And then on the day of Christ's return, I'll be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Philippians. And so here we see Paul writing to the church there, and he said, hey, listen, we've got a part in this. We need to do our part in this. And so it is the workings of God that begins to reveal to us a need to change how we react. It is the working of God within us, the Holy Spirit, that produces this fruit of self-control to where we even desire to say no to things. To say no to maybe that thought or that action because we know it doesn't honor Him. If we have been crucified with Christ, if we have literally accepted Him, we say, Jesus, I want You to be Lord of my life, then therefore we ought to want to live in such a way that brings honor and glory to His name. And so as we do that, the Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us through the Scriptures. And so when we read a passage like that, let me show you a couple of things in there where we have a responsibility. You know, we can either choose to honor God or dishonor God. We can choose to get, like this morning, we can either choose to get up and go to be a part of a prayer time, or we can choose to sleep in. We have choices. We can choose to accept Christ or reject Christ. We can say, man, I understand what Christ is about, but I'm not sure I want to go down the road. I don't know if I want to give up some of the things that I like doing. And here's the thing. We often do that. We weigh it out. We go, you know, man, following Christ. Man, am I going to have to go to church every Sunday? Man, am I going to have to read the Bible? Am I going to have to do these things? And oftentimes we will weigh it out in that way. And oftentimes what we'll do is we'll submit to the flesh, to the lustly desires, rather than the things of God. And so we choose something other than God. And so let's read back through this passage real quick. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. I mean, think about that. He's saying, work hard. Put effort into it. You know, deny the flesh. Say no to the things that cause your witness to be a stumbling block. You know, I joked about this, I think, last week or the week before, kind of jokingly, not really. But oftentimes what we'll do is we'll get on Facebook and we'll go on a rant. And we'll sit there and we'll tear somebody, we'll shred somebody, and you're talking to somebody that's in a car beside you. Like, anybody knows, anybody cares. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and so the thing is we have to show restraint and realize, you know what? I don't want to go out and stir up dissension. I don't want to go out and gossip. I don't want to go out and criticize. I don't want to go out and do these things. God, I want to do what honors You. God, I want to speak life. God, I want to pray blessings over people. God, I want to do what Your Word says, not just what I want to do. I want to do what's right. And so the Holy Spirit, there's times you might type something and say, you know what? That's a little bit too strong. And you may hit delete. Delete can be a good thing. I'm just saying it can be a good thing. And so you wipe that back out. You say, you know what? I want to go a different direction. And so here's the thing is we have a responsibility to guard our mouths, to guard our eyes. We have a part in our walk with Christ. And so work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, no doubt about that, giving you the desire and the desire to and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Does that sound like you? Does that sound like you? Just ask yourself, man, do I argue much? Do I complain much? You know, are you kind of like one of the guys from the whiners? You know, I wanted to sit at that table. You know, it's too cold in here or whatever. And so are you a whiner, a complainer? Or do you argue? Do you like to stir up dissension? Some people like to. I love it how Christians always say, well, you know, I just want to kind of get a debate going. Why don't you just teach truth and not try to debate and argue things? And so the thing is Paul is saying here, hey, listen, you know, work towards being unified, being together. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I'll be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Hold firmly. You know, this weekend, there's been a hurricane that has hit Texas. And it continues to dump rain. It continues to dump rain. I thought about, as I was reading that passage earlier this morning, you know, about someone who maybe was in floodwaters. And how they hold on to something. Maybe it's a tree. Maybe it's something that they feel like is secure. And they're holding on with all this pressure coming against them. But they're holding on as tightly as they can, I guarantee you. And so the thing is for you and I, do we hold on to the Word of God? See, that's our responsibility. Do we hold on to the teachings of God? Do we hold on to the teachings of Christ? Do we hold on to those things in such a way that we're not willing to compromise them to fit in? Do we hold on to them and we walk with integrity and character? Do we hold on to the teachings of God's Word? We hold on to it like, man, it is our safe guard. It is our protection. It is our anchor. Do we hold on to the Word of God? Because Paul is saying, hold on tightly to the Word of God. Cling to it. Here's the thing. We have to know what the Word of God says if we're going to do that. I've heard people say through the years, man, I believe every word in the Bible. But they've never read it from cover to cover. They don't even know what it says. Because mom said that or dad said that. But do you know the Word of God? Do you spend time studying it, digging into it, feeding on it, feasting on it? Because it is the Word of God. It's the very words of our Creator. Speaking, it's a love letter to us. And so we should desire to know it and to cling to it, hold firmly to the Word of life. And then look over here. Sin has lost its power in our lives. For the Christian, for the believer who has put his faith in Christ, sin has lost its power in his lives, in our lives. And so I want you to understand, there's two people. You have a believer. A believer is someone who has come to know Christ. He believes that Jesus is who he says he is. He has placed his faith in Christ and what Christ did on the cross, what he did in the grave, and what he did through the power of the resurrection. When we baptized these today, we said, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a newness of life. And so the believer has said, I want to die to my old way of living. I want to die to my old way of thinking. I want to die to this old self. And so therefore, Jesus, I ask you to help me literally turn to you. That's repentance. I want to turn to you and allow you to live in me and through me. And so for the believer, we believe that Jesus is who he says he is. We believe he's the Son of God. And we believe he left heaven like we sang this morning. And he came here and he brought heaven to us. He brought the way. He was the way. And so there's others in here that, man, they haven't put their faith in Christ. You know, and I can remember as a young man growing up, and I can remember thinking, man, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. And I did. I believe that he died on the cross. I believed that there was a God. I believe a lot of those things. But it never affected my life whatsoever. And so at the age of 19, I can remember hearing the gospel for the first time in a way that it moved me. I can remember hearing it before and wanting to give my life to Christ, but I didn't feel like I knew enough. Or I felt like that I was going to have to give some things up. But at the age of 19, I didn't care anymore. I wanted Jesus in my life. And I can remember walking an aisle and coming down front, and the pastor asked me, he said, son, what are you coming forward for? I said, man, I don't know. I said, I just know I need Jesus. And I got down and I prayed a very simple prayer, probably a very similar prayer to what these prayed today. And man, it changed me. It rocked my world. It was an emotional impact. It was a spiritual impact. And it changed the whole trajectory of my life, the direction that I was heading in. Man, it changed it. And so I began to realize, you know what, man, I have been born again. I have been changed. And this statement here, look at what it says again. Sin has lost its power in our lives. Up until that point in my life, man, I had done a good job of sinning. You know, sin had ruled in my life. I was very selfish. Man, I struggled in so many ways. Self-esteem, all these things. Sin had me so entangled. But that night, man, there was no doubt in my life. I mean, I knew that I was saved that night. Now, did I know how to walk with Christ? Not necessarily. Let me read this passage to you and let me explain. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that grace can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And since we have been united with Him in His death, we also will be raised to life as He was. We know that our sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that the sin might lose its power in our lives. And we are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So for me, man, I made this decision, and there is no doubt in my life that I received the very presence of God and the power of God in my life. But I struggled. I had a guy walk up to me. He said, hey, listen, Mike, here's a book. I want you to work through this book. It's called a survival kit, survival guide. And so he gave me that, and he said, I want you to go work through that, read the Bible, and kind of fill in those blanks there, and let me know if you need anything. And that was pretty much it. And I've shared some of this before, but man, I know I was saved. There's no doubt in my life. But here's the thing. I knew a whole lot more about how to sin than I knew how to walk in righteousness. I didn't know how to walk with Jesus. I didn't even know how to pray hardly. You know, and so I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I don't know what to do, but I knew how to sin. And so what happened is I literally would take this yoke of slavery that I had been set free from, and I would put it back on me because that's what I knew how to do. And nobody had taught me how to walk in righteousness, how to walk with Christ, how to pray, how to study the Bible, how to read the Scriptures. And here's the thing, they didn't teach me about the fruits of the Spirit. None of that had taken place. And so for the first 6 months of my walk with Christ, I kept wanting to go back and take this yoke of slavery and put it back on me because, to be honest with you, it was comfortable. It's what I knew how to do. But in my heart, I felt conviction because the Holy Spirit was not done with me. And the Holy Spirit would begin to work in me and say, Mike, that's not what is best for you. Mike, you're returning to your sin. You're returning to what you know. But here's the thing, I've got greater things for you. And so the Holy Spirit would begin to work in me. And here's the thing, is I would say that a lot of Christians are in that same boat. We make a decision. We accept Christ. And we want everything to change. But here's the thing, is the church doesn't always do a great job of discipling. I mean, I look around this room. There's plenty of you in this room that know how to disciple people. And what we do is we hope somebody else will do it. We know plenty of people that don't know Christ. We hope somebody else will share Christ with them. We hope that they'll get somebody in their life that will teach them about Christ or share with them the gospel, the good news. When every one of us ought to have a responsibility to say, you know what, God, who can I share with this week? And like discipleship, we hope that, well, maybe the elders or maybe Pastor Mike or maybe Pastor John or maybe Pastor Daniel or somebody like that down at the church, they'll take care of that. We as the church have a responsibility to that. And so who are you discipling? And let me just say this. I tell people this all the time. If you know how to receive Christ, then you know how to share Christ. If you know how to walk in with Jesus in your own personal walk, you know how to disciple. And so what we ought to be about is a church is saying, you know, God, show me who I can invest in. That's what Jesus did. And see, for me, at the age of 19, I prayed to receive Christ. And not too long after that, about 6 months after that, we had a guy who came as a youth pastor who began to invest in me and disciple me. And he would literally teach me things about the Scriptures that I had no clue about. We're still good friends to this day. He's still my mentor. So who are you investing in? Dads, moms, you have our kids. We get to invest in them. And so the thing is that they ought to be able to see in us that we have been set free. And so there's a couple of things here. Number one, it says, before Christ, we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to sin. See, before I gave my life to Christ, I really didn't have an option. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, to be honest with you, you really don't have an option. You will give way to the flesh. You don't have the power of God at work in you. You don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. For those of us in this room that have accepted Christ, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you receive a deposit. The Holy Spirit is placed within you, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, until Christ takes us home. And so for every believer, every person who claims to have been saved, then the Bible changes everything. It says, you know what? The very presence of God is going to be within you. And that's what gives us the power and the want to and the ability and the desire to say no to the things that do not honor God and yes to the things that bring Him glory, that exalt His name. And so the thing is we were dead. I mean, we were slaves to sin. And so let me read this again. It says, well, then should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? So for the believer, oftentimes I'll hear people say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That's exactly right. We all are. But we don't have to continue to live as a sinner, continue to live in sin. You might say, well, Mike, the Bible says that for us to say that we don't sin means that we're a liar. That's exactly right. But here's the thing, is what we do is we use that as a cop-out sometimes, and we want to go sin and just say, well, hey, Mike, we're going to all mess up. We are all broken vessels. We are all in need of a Savior. But here's what I want you to hear what Scripture's saying. You are no longer under the yoke of slavery of sin. You have been set free. If Jesus couldn't set you free, you won't be free. And so what happens too often is we end up just kind of using that as our cop-out, as our excuse for us to submit and surrender to the flesh, even as a Christian, rather than submit and surrender to the Spirit. And maybe it's because that's what you're used to. Maybe it's because you've never been taught any different. Maybe it's because that, you know, hey, you know what? That's what I'm comfortable with. But the Bible says, as a believer, that you should live a life that is like a bright, shining star so that other people look into your life and they go, man, I want what he has. I want what she has. I want to be different. I want to be a follower of Christ, not just fitting into this world, not just kind of following the pattern of the flesh, but submitting, surrendering day in, day out to the Spirit. Before Christ, we had no power. Like I said, for me, man, I may have wanted the things of God, but until I accepted Christ and the very presence of God was working in me, there was no power within me. I was powerless. But whenever I received Christ, the Bible says that resurrection power is placed within the believer. Resurrection power And so we just baptized and we said, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. We just celebrated people going from death unto life. There's a shirt that I've seen around that I love that talks about, it says dead man walking. Man, you know, in other words, you know, I was dead in my sin. I was dead in my transgressions. I was dead to God. But now I'm alive and I'm resurrected. Dead man walking. I think about Lazarus, dead man walking. People walking around, they're pointing at Lazarus. And the Bible teaches us that it says that they said Lazarus was dangerous. Because here's a man who had been dead, that had been resurrected. And man, people couldn't explain it. And so I think, you know, we ought to be a little bit dangerous. That people look at us and they go, man, I know that guy. I know how he lived. Man, I know what he was like. And man, look at him. He is a dead man walking. He's died to the old way of living. And man, he has been resurrected by the power of God. That ought to, man, we ought to desire that and submit and surrender moment by moment to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Look at this third one here. Before Christ, we were dead in our sins. We had no power. We were dead in our sins. But now we are alive in Christ. And people ought to be able to see the life in us. They shouldn't see us as whining and complaining. They shouldn't see us as arguing and fighting. They should see that we are filled with the life-giving message of the gospel. And that God is at work in our life. We're not perfect, but man, we are redeemed. And we've been saved. And we've been set apart. And we have been set free. And they ought to see victory in our lives. They ought to see us celebrating that on a regular basis. This last part, it says, the fruit of self-control is the power of God and the promises of God working together. Listen to this passage here out of 2 Peter. It says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. That's our part. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. In other words, our faith is in Christ, but it says, you know what? Make sure that you have moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. Study the Scripture. Study the Word of God. And with knowledge, self-control. It goes back to that being filled, you know, and being led by the Holy Spirit. And self-control with patient endurance. That we wait on the Father. We know that He'll provide a way out. And patient endurance with godliness. That we desire to be as godly as we can be. Always trying to point towards Christ and give Him all the credit. And godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection is talking about the body of Christ. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. That's the world. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. See, too often we're still living in the sins that Jesus has set us free from. And too often what we do is, I think as believers, you know, we feel like I'm weak and I can't seem to overcome this area. And so we go back and we take this yoke of slavery and we put it back on our shoulders. And Jesus said, listen, I didn't come to set you free only for you to go back into slavery. It's kind of like the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel gets set free. You know, Moses is coming and he said, set my people free. And so the Pharaoh finally lets them go. And they get out into the wilderness and they're celebrating and they're taking all this stuff with them. And they get out there and all of a sudden they run into hard times. And they start complaining and arguing and saying, at least back in Egypt we had food to eat. At least back in Egypt we had this. At least back in Egypt. You know what? And we're the same way. As Christians, oftentimes what we do is like, you know, man, I know I'm saved and I know I've been set free. But that sure was a lot of fun, that sin that I used to commit. You know, and that's what everybody else is doing. I know I've been set free and I am no longer, you know, having to wear this yoke of slavery. But I think I would rather be over there doing what they're doing than doing what God wants me to do. And so therefore what we do is we submit and we surrender to the desires of the flesh. Rather than submitting and surrendering to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. If we go back and look at the very passage we started every message in this series with, it says we crucify the evil desires. We crucify those things that keep us from honoring God. And we nail them to the cross of Christ. Instead of nailing them to the cross, sometimes what we do is we embrace them. Last week in both services, we opened up the altar, and there were people that came, and I feel like they not only laid things on this altar, but I think they nailed some things to the cross of Christ. As a believer, as a follower of Christ, we should have the mindset that I am no longer a slave. I've been set free. We should have the mindset that, you know what, I'm a child of a king, and I am co-heirs with Christ. We should have that mindset. We should have that mindset that, you know what, there's nothing in this world that can conquer me or defeat me because the power of the living God is living within me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. Do we have an enemy? Yes, we have Satan, the enemy, who would do everything he can to destroy me. He wants to take away anything about me that honors Christ. And so here's the thing is, I need to understand, he's going to come against me. There's going to be a battle with my flesh. There's going to be temptations that will come my way. But I do not have to bow down to it. God says he will provide a way out. He'll give us the strength that we need. And so here's what some of us as Christians need to quit doing. We need to quit making excuses, and we need to start claiming who we are. We need to start believing what God's Word says about us. And we need to kind of get our mind around the fact that the very presence of God is dwelling within us. And why would we want to live in such a way that dishonors Him or discredits Him? But that we would submit and surrender to the Spirit moment by moment throughout each day. Going, God, I want you to be exalted, not me. God, I want you to be glorified, not me. God, I want it to be about you, my life to be about you, not about me. So what is it that God is saying to you that you need to die to? There's a couple of next steps here. The first one says this, to receive the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ and to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. There may be some of you here today that you've never received the gift of salvation. You've never received Christ. Maybe you're like me. You know about Him. You've thought about Him. You even believe that He died on the cross. But man, you've never surrendered. You've never accepted the free gift of salvation. And maybe like me, you kept thinking, hey, I've got to earn this. I've got to work my way there. And so the thing is oftentimes we think, well, you know, I've got to earn, I've got to get better so that Jesus will accept me. He accepts me at my very worst. See, I was dead in my sins. And let me tell you what this dead in our sins means. There's two things. We will breathe our last one day. They're physically, because of sin, one day I will breathe my last breath. And I will die, and I will go to be with the Father. And so every one of us in this room, one day we'll breathe our last. And so that's a physical death. And then there's a spiritual death. And spiritual death is a separation from God. A spiritual death is what takes place when we have rejected His plan for salvation, His Son, Jesus. If we say, you know, I'm going to try something else, and we say, Jesus, I reject you. Hey, I think you're a good guy, but you know what? You're not for me. Then the Bible says that we experience a spiritual death, a separation from God. And so if we accept Christ, then heaven is our destination. And we'll be in the very presence of God. We'll be in the presence of other believers, worshiping Him in truth and in spirit. And so here's the thing is, if we reject Him, then what we're bound to is we choose hell. Total separation from God, experiencing that spiritual death. And so when we say that we were dead in our sins, for me, I was dead in my sins until I was 19 years old. And I received Christ as a gift, nothing that I earned. By faith, I put my faith in Him. And here's the thing, He changed me. He's still changing me. He's still working on me. He's still drawing me close. He's still breathing life into me. And He's still rebuking me at times. Because He's not done with me. And for every believer in this room, maybe it's time for us to say, you know what, God? I want to desire the things of God. I want to honor You. This last one says, maybe the next step for you is to submit to the Holy Spirit in the areas I've been making excuses. So maybe, you know, you keep making excuses. Well, maybe it's time to quit making excuses and say, you know what, God, I want to make a change. I want to submit, I want to surrender, and I want to trust You completely. I want to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody's looking around, but I want to ask this question. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, is there anything that would keep you from making that decision right now? Is there anything keeping you from submitting, surrendering, receiving the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of salvation? If you say, Mike, man, I want to receive Christ. I want Jesus to live within me. I want to be set free. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand and say, Mike, that's me. Will you pray for me? Just raise your hand. Just say, Mike, I see your hand. Anybody else? Just raise your hand and say, Mike, will you pray for me? I want to receive Christ for salvation. I want to be saved. I want to be filled with God's Spirit. I want to be led by Him. Anybody else? I appreciate your courage. I see your hand over here. Raise it high so I can see it. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand over here. I see your hand over here. Anybody else, raise your hand. You say, Mike, I want to receive Christ for salvation. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. With everybody else with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're a believer, man, this is a good time to call on God's Holy Spirit to work. But if you raised your hand for salvation, I want you to look up here at me. Everybody else, heads bowed. I saw you raise your hand. I saw you raise your hand. And I saw you raise your hand. If you want to be saved, it's not anything that we have to work for. It's a gift. It's by faith. Faith. Faith is believing in something in such a powerful way that it changes us. So if that is your desire, if your desire is to be saved, to know that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, to know that you're a child of God, to know that you're adopted into His family, then it's laying your life down. It's surrendering. If you're ready to make that decision, I want to lead you through a simple prayer. If you're ready to make that decision, ready? All right, I want you to just bow your head and I want you to pray with me. Father, I ask you to forgive me. I'm a sinner. Father, I ask you to come into my life. I want to receive your Spirit within me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe he died on the cross for the world. I believe that he can save me. I believe that he can change me. I believe that he can set me free. I believe that he can heal me. I believe that he can do anything that you say, God, in your word. I believe that with all the faith I've got. So, Jesus, I'm asking you to come and live within me. Dwell within me. Change me moment by moment, day by day, as I submit and surrender to your Holy Spirit. If that is your prayer, the Bible says you will be saved. It's not by doing more. It's not by attending church more. It's by submitting and surrendering and by faith asking Him to come and live within you, receiving Him. If that's your prayer, the Bible says you are saved. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased, never to be erased. There's lots of others in this room that are believers. These three have raised their hand for salvation and prayed that prayer. And if they're sincere, the Bible says they're part of our family. And now they have the power of the living God living within them. There may be some of you who are believers, been making excuses way too long. Maybe it's just time for you to say, you know what, I need to nail some things to the cross. I need to lay some things down. And so I want to just give you an opportunity right where you're at. I just want you to say, you know, Mike, I'm struggling in some areas. And I want to ask you, if you would, just to pray for me. I'm tired of making excuses. But I want to submit and surrender day in, day out to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Mike, will you pray for me? Just raise your hand right where you're at. Say, Mike, pray for me. Hands all over the room. See, I believe God wants us as believers to trust Him, to live for Him, to submit and surrender moment by moment. Father, I thank you for meeting with us today. God, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for these three that have raised their hand. God, have prayed a prayer from their heart of hearts. God, I thank you that your word says that if they prayed that prayer, they're your child. They're adopted into your family. God, I give you praise for that. I thank you for being a part of that. God, I pray for the others in this room, all of us, God, that claim to be believers. God, that we would quit making excuses. And God, that we would live our lives in such a way that, God, that we become bright, shining stars for you. We always give you the credit. We always give you the glory. But God, we submit and surrender to your Spirit. Father, let the fruits of the Spirit come to fruition in our life. God, I pray that you would cultivate the fruits so that people recognize us by our fruit and by our love for one another and our love for your teachings. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that followed you in believers' baptism. I pray for these three that they would follow you in believers' baptism. God, thank you for meeting with us. God, thank you for your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Well, that is super exciting and powerful of a message from Pastor Mike. Just knowing that we can lay it all down.